Hey there, everyone. My name is Graydon, and welcome to Eternity Church's weekly podcast. This week at Eternity, we had the privilege of hosting special guest Ryan Visconti. Ryan came all the way from Mesa, Arizona, where he and his wife Amy pastor Generation Church, and we are so thankful that Ryan came to Eternity to share a message, and we know that you all will love it. So, here we go.
Be with you today. It's great to be a part of the best church in Iowa, isn't it? I mean, you just got to own that. I love this church and I love your pastors. I'm glad to be here during this time. It's a difficult season for our country. It's a difficult time just to be alive, but we know that because of our hope in Jesus, we never have to fear. We never give up. We have a reason to sing and to praise God no matter what's happening in our circumstances because of Jesus. Amen. Let's just give him praise one more time. Come on. Amen. We praise you, God. We worship you. We love you, Lord. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So good to be with you today, and I'm glad I could be with you here while Pastor Jesse is away getting some time to rest and recharge his spirit. You need that, right? Because it's not easy to be the pastor of a growing, alive church that's making a difference in the world anyways, but it's especially not easy in 2020. It's like the Hunger Games out there. It's like survival of the fittest. So he needs this time, and he's going to come away stronger and ready to lead you. But I want to encourage you, don't take for granted how special it is to be a part of a church like this. All of you who are a part of Eternity Church, don't take it for granted. Many Christians will go their entire lives without being a part of a church that makes a difference like this church. So give God praise that he brought you here to this house. Well, my name is Ryan. I'm from Arizona. My church is called Generation Church, and it's great to be with you in the building here, and those of you who are online, out in the patio. I'm so glad that you're with us tonight, and I have a word that I'm going to hopefully share with you that will bless you, and I think God has something to say to you tonight. I'm going to start out by reading in Lamentations chapter 3. I'll give you like 15 minutes to find it in your Bible. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, it says this: "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." So the title of this message is Don't Waste Your Wait. Don't waste your wait. I heard this joke about this guy that went to heaven and he got to ask God questions, and he asked God, "God, what is a million years like to you?" And God said, "It's like just 1 second." And the guy said, "Okay, God, what is $1 million like to you?" And God said, "It's like just 1 penny." And the guy was clever, so he was like, "I sure would like to get one of those pennies." And God said, "Okay, just a second." What do you do when God says to wait? I'm going to move this over just a little bit. When God says to wait, we've been waiting more than even usual lately, haven't we? I remember when the coronavirus broke out and all of our churches went to online only for a while, and we were waiting to gather again physically in the building. How many of you realized during those weeks how much you had taken church for granted before, right? Just waiting to come back and worship with other believers. Like, it was a long wait. It was tough. And then even though we are gathering again, we have a part of our church family who are still online because maybe you're high risk and you can't gather yet. And I want you to know that we miss you. You are not forgotten. We love you, and you are in our hearts, even though you're not in the room. So I want you to know that we're waiting to see you again. This message is for anyone who is waiting. I know a lot of parents this summer were waiting to get their kids out of the house. This message is for any single folks who've been waiting for years or even decades to find the one, and recent events have not helped your social dating life, have they? This is for a young woman who maybe wanted to have a baby in her 20s, but then 20s turned into 30s, and that turned into 40s, and every month is another disappointment. This is a message for the parent of a prodigal child, and you know it's God's will that none should perish, but that everyone should come to knowledge of the truth, but it feels like with each passing year, that child gets farther and farther away from God. This is a message for the person who is praying for healing, either for a physical or emotional issue, but so far nothing has happened. Or the person that God has put a dream in your heart, but as time has gone by, you're starting to wonder if that dream was just a fantasy. What do you do when God says to wait? Romans 8:25 says this, "But if we look forward to something we don't have, we must wait patiently and confidently." Patiently and confidently. So patience is a fruit of the Spirit. You know, the longer you walk with Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit produces this type of fruit in your life. Patience is the byproduct of living life with Jesus Christ. It's nobody's favorite fruit of the Spirit. I'll just say that right now. But over time, you learn to be patient. Now, I have this little 8-month-old daughter named Lila. And I'll oftentimes do the midnight feeding. I'll wake her up to feed her. And I like it because I'm a night person anyway. But it's so funny. Once she wakes up after that initial shock, like, where am I? As soon as her belly starts to register her hunger, she starts to go crazy. Like, she starts to pant. Like, and like it's a meltdown until you put that bottle in her mouth. And then she's totally fine. Like, a little cherub angel. Oh, like, nothing was ever wrong. Now that's cute from an 8-month-old, but it's not cute from a 35-year-old. Like, I've got to learn to be patient, amen? And then we've got to wait confidently. That word confidence, it comes from a Latin word that means with trust. We want to wait with trust. And how are you supposed to trust God as you are waiting? I think it helps to know that you're not the first man or woman of God who's had to wait on the Lord. When you're waiting, I want you to know this, you're in good company. When you wait, you're in good company. In fact, in Scripture, the people who God worked through the strongest oftentimes had to wait the longest. Think about Abraham and Sarah. They were promised a baby, and they waited 25 years from the promise of a son to the payoff of a baby. Or the nation of Israel, right? They were captives as Hebrew people in Egypt for 400 years waiting to be set free. And then when they were set free, you know, they were all pumped, but then they had to wait 40 more years to go into the promised land. Or how about David, the most beloved king of Israel? He waited 15 years from the time of his consecration that he would be the next king until his coronation when he took the throne. Or even Jesus, the Son of God, from the moment he was born, waited 30 years to start his ministry. That's a long time. How many of you guys know, if you could walk on water in your 20s, you would have been showing off, right? You wouldn't have waited. So we got to ask, why is there often such a wait between consecration and coronation, or between the promise and the payoff? And it's because of this. Not every season is harvest season. And this is an important truth that you've got to learn. Not every season is harvest season. It's interesting that God designed the world that we live in such a way that you plow and you plant and you water and you wait and you wait and then you harvest. We oftentimes struggle to wait on God's promises because we want every season to be harvest season. We want to have total fulfillment in our marriage now. We want our kids to be grown and mature today. We want financial fulfillment and relational fulfillment now. But in real life, you've got to plant and water and wait. Now we're okay with the planting and the watering because we can control that part of the process. But we start to get frustrated after we've done everything we can do, and then we have to wait for God to do what only he can do. That's when we start to question, and we start to doubt, and we start to ask, God, where are you? What are you doing right now? And the word patience starts to feel more like a curse word. I want you to know that when you spend time waiting on God, that is not time lost. There's more happening in those seasons than the eye can see. For example, it makes me think about the bamboo tree. The bamboo tree is really interesting. If you plant a bamboo seed, what'll happen is you'll plant it and you'll water it and you'll wait and a whole year will go by. And you'll continue to water it and a whole other year will go by. And then year three, you're waiting and you're watering. Year four, you're still waiting and you're still watering. It's in the fifth year that that bamboo tree shoots up out of the ground 90 feet in 6 weeks. How crazy is that? Like, you thought there was nothing going on. We sing a song in church that says, even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. That's how it is sometimes. We don't see growth, but there's a lot happening beneath the surface and behind the scenes that's just as important as the thing that we're waiting for. Many people can't handle the wait. They try to rush God's timing. Maybe God has called you to something or put something in your heart, and you're getting antsy and you're considering taking matters into your own hands. People who rush God's timing, they're less like a bamboo tree and they're more like a chia pet. How many of you guys remember the chia pets? Right, this chia pet's a turtle. I like turtles, right? You can get yourself a Bob Ross chia pet, a little doggy, right? But chia pets, you plant that, and then it just sprouts up instantly. And within just a couple weeks, it's completely grown, and then it dies. You get that instant satisfaction. Like, wow, look at it grow, and then it's dead. The thing is, with chia seeds, they grow fast, but after a couple weeks, it's over. Both the bamboo tree and the chia pet look like an overnight success. But the bamboo tree was an overnight success 5 years in the making. And the chia pet is going to be dead in a couple of weeks. People who try to skip ahead and rush God's timing, they never last. When you rush ahead of God, you'll find yourself in the place you wanted to be without the strength you needed to stay there. I've seen leaders do this. I've seen leaders who try to seize more opportunity and responsibility and notoriety, but their character can't keep them where their gifting got them. I've seen lonely people. They're lonely and they want to be married. They rush into marriage, and then they just end up disappointed in a lonely marriage. I've seen couples who can't even manage their own household budget try to start a business and then get frustrated when it is a mess. I want you to know that when you're waiting, God is working. He's working. And usually, he's working on you. He's working on you. So it's kind of like this. Today, when we take pictures, most of us, we use our phone, right? And isn't it convenient? Like, it focuses for you. You take a picture, it corrects the problems, and then you can just instantly edit that thing and upload it. It's called Instagram because it's an instant process. But it wasn't always like that, was it? I mean, not that long ago, maybe you remember this. How many of you remember the Polaroid camera, right? I mean, this thing was like a magic trick when it first showed up. The fact that you could take a picture and then have it in like 3 minutes. So, I mean, how great is that? You got yourself a picture. There it is. It's ready to go. You can just shake it like a Polaroid picture, right? You know, it's like, that's super convenient, just a quick. But then before that, how many of you guys, when you would go on vacation, you had one of these? Disposable camera with 35 millimeter film, you know, and you'd have to do this like every time. Right? And you'd use the whole roll of film, no matter if you had anything to take a picture of or not. And then you would take this film to the film development, you know, place in your store, and you drop it off, and you would pray for 3 or 4 days that your whole roll of film wasn't of just your finger in front of the lens. Right? The thing is, while you were waiting, that film was getting developed in a dark room. That 35 millimeter film, it had to be developed. And if someone rushed that process, if light entered the room and hit the negative before it was developed, it would ruin the picture, right? See, the thing I want you to understand is that God doesn't do iPhone pics. He does 35 millimeter film. He doesn't do instant gratification. He doesn't do instant harvest season. He puts us oftentimes in a season of waiting, even what might feel like a dark room, where he'll let us wait, and it feels like nothing's happening, but he's actually developing us in that process. He's developing the image of his son, Jesus, in us. That's what he wants to do in those seasons. In fact, before God does something great through you, he is going to develop his image in you. He doesn't want you conformed to the pattern of this world, but transformed into the image of his son. And it happens in the process of waiting on God. Sometimes it seems like days or months or years or even decades. Maybe you're in a season of waiting and you're asking God, God, what is happening? Like, why am I waiting? What is going on here? And the thing is this, like, I don't know what, I don't know why, but I know a waiting season is never a wasted season. It's never wasted. He's developing you. He's strengthening you. God is teaching you in that season. And we'll often ask him, why? When we should be asking, what? Like, God, what are you trying to teach me? What are you doing in me? What weakness do you want to strengthen? I think about in 1 Samuel 16, David was anointed and he was going to be the next king of Israel. And you would think that that would be an instant launching pad to the palace, or that he would go on the Hebrew Bachelor and find a wife worthy of a king. But instead, he went back to the pastures to take care of sheep. That would have felt pretty anticlimactic in the moment, right? But God didn't waste that season. He used it to prepare David for his future role as king. Before David protected God's people from a giant, he protected sheep from the lion and the bear. It was in that time of waiting that theologians believe David wrote Psalm 23, which is what a lot of us consider maybe the greatest psalm. It says in Psalm 23, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul." Think about that. Think about you've been anointed to be the next king, and you say these words while you're waiting for years, "I shall not want. There's nothing I need. I'm lacking nothing." I wouldn't have felt that way. Right? I would have been out in the fields like, "I just can't wait to be king." Right? Like, I can't wait. I don't want to wait with these sheep. I want to be king now. And then he says, he makes me to lie down beside still waters and he restores my soul. That sounds peaceful and restful. But a lot of times when we're waiting for God to deliver on his promises, we become panicked and restless. We're supposed to enjoy that process of waiting as we trust God and he's working in us. He is working in us and working on us and taking care of our souls even when we don't realize it. So I want to give you a few words of caution as we talk about this waiting process that we've all got to go through at different times in life. Here's the first word of caution, okay? Don't confuse worrying for waiting. Is it okay if I challenge you some tonight? You know I love you. I just got to challenge you a little bit. Don't confuse worrying for waiting. Sometimes people say they're waiting, but they're actually just delaying because they're worried. Like every church has the gal who's like, "I hate being single. Like, you know, I want to get married." But every guy she dates, she finds something wrong with him because she's been hurt before and now she's afraid to commit. Or maybe you got a guy who's like called into ministry and he knows God is calling him, but he's worried about leaving his job and financial security. Or maybe you've got someone who's young and they have no pre-existing health conditions. They're healthy, but they've locked themselves in their houses for the last 5 months because they've let their fear of a virus get bigger than their faith in God. Have you let the voice of fear get louder than the voice of God? That's worrying. That's not waiting. Psalm 119 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Why? I think this is important for us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. See, oftentimes when God is calling us to do something, we want a map, but he gave us a lamp. Think about how much more convenient it is to have a map. You have a start point, directions, distance, time of expected arrival. You can see every turn by turn what it's going to look like. But a lamp, that only lights the part of the path you're walking on. Right? A map shows you the whole journey, but a lamp only lights the path as you step out and walk. There are some questions that won't get answered until you step out in faith. There are some worries that won't go away until you walk the path. When God calls you out, the time is right, whether or not it feels like it. God's calling is not contingent on my comfort level. When he calls me, when it's his timing, that's the time to move. Don't let worry stop you. Okay, then here's the flip side of the coin, all right? An open door isn't always the right door. You don't want to get ahead of God's timing as well. It's not just trusting his what, but his when. So I think about this. I became the lead pastor of my church about 5 years ago now. And before that, I was on staff at this church, and I was serving as an executive pastor. And during that time, I got a phone call from another church in Arizona, and the pastor had just finished building a new building, and he felt God calling him somewhere else. And he said, Ryan, I feel like you're supposed to come and take this church and become the senior pastor of this church. And I was like, really? That's unexpected. That's interesting. And so I was like, well, I got to pray about this, right? So I started praying, you know, God, is this your will? And I felt in my heart like God said, no, this isn't the right opportunity for you. And I was like, are you sure? Because my ego feels like it's the right opportunity. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, do you want the right opportunity or the right now opportunity? Think about Abraham and Sarah. They were promised that they would have a child, and then they had to wait 25 years for that to come into fruition. That's a long time. That'd be like if you were waiting on a promise that God made to you in 1995. Right? Put it in perspective. Like, Forrest Gump won Best Oscar that year. Number one song on the billboards was Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls by TLC. Right? But Sarah, Abraham's wife, she waited patiently for 11 years, which is pretty good. I mean, that's good. But then she got restless. She became impatient, and she tried to take matters into her hands. She's like, I'm not having a baby, but I want a baby, and I'm tired of waiting. So she brought her maidservant, Hagar, to her husband, Abraham. And I assume Hagar was better looking than her name sounded. And she was like, I want you, Abraham, to sleep with my maidservant and give me a baby. And Abraham was like, well, okay, if you say so. I mean, dumb, right? I mean, this guy is not, he missed it. And so Hagar gave birth to Ishmael. And Ishmael was not God's promised child for them. And Ishmael was a source of strife in their lives from the very beginning. And he was warring against Abraham's other offspring through Isaac. And the people of Ishmael, the descendants of Ishmael, many scholars believe all the Muslim and Arab people in the world today are descended from Ishmael. And they've been at odds with the Jewish people, God's people, ever since. All of that happened because they tried to rush God's timing. When we try to force God's plan into our schedule, we can get a short-term payoff, but long-term pain. You can give birth to an Ishmael. Like, maybe you're single and you get tired of waiting for Mr. Right and you settle for Mr. Right now. That can be an Ishmael in your life. Or maybe you want a leadership platform and so you try to skip that time in the pasture that you needed to develop. That can be like giving birth to an Ishmael. Or if you want like a nicer house or a better car and you rush the process and you take on an unhealthy amount of debt that becomes a burden to your family, that can be an Ishmael. Or maybe you have a prodigal child and you want them to get saved so badly that you try to control them and that only ends up driving them further away. That can be like giving birth to an Ishmael. I want you to know this, Eternity Church. The only thing harder than waiting on God is wishing you had. But people will say, but God is opening a door in my life. I want you to ask yourself this. How do you know that's God? Because the enemy will also try to open doors in your life. He does that, right? He opened a door for Jonah to get on a boat and go in the opposite direction of where God had called him. He opened the door for Eve to eat fruit from the forbidden tree. Satan opened the door for Jesus to take control of the kingdoms of this world before God's appointed time. Open doors are not always reliable guides because we have an enemy who is working to open the wrong doors. He'll give you opportunities. He'll give you an opportunity to sleep with a stranger after just a few swipes. He'll give you the open door to go to the bar and drown your sorrows. He'll give you the open door to leave your family, the family you had just been thanking God for a couple years ago. Every open door has to be evaluated through the lens of God's word and prayer and wise counsel. And so this is a word of caution. Long seasons of waiting, I know they can be really difficult. I think about Abraham waiting 25 years. I understand that. My wife and I, we got married now in 2012, and we waited 7 years, and we were not able to have kids because of infertility problems. And that's a long time to wait when you want something, and you're just trying to figure it out. And I went through a lot of those emotions, and I asked God questions like, why is this happening, and when is this going to happen? And it did test my faith. And I want to show you something I noticed in Scripture in Proverbs 13, verse 12. It says this. It says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Now, you've probably heard your pastor before talk about holding on to hope. But when I would read this verse, I got to tell you, for a long time, I read it incorrectly. What I thought it was saying was, if you have to wait a long time, it makes you heart sick. And I could tell you that I felt heart sick sometimes about going through the waiting process that we went through. But, you know, it's telling you when it does come to pass, that's like a tree of life. I thought it was saying if you have to wait, it's going to make you heart sick. But I felt like at a certain point, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he was like, hey, Ryan, you're reading this wrong. That's not what it says. And I'm like, yeah, I've been wondering, Lord, like, what does this mean? Because I feel like you shouldn't admit this. But he said, read it again. Read it slower. Read the words, right? And then that's when I realized it doesn't say desire deferred makes the heart sick. It says hope deferred. What that means is when you lose hope, when you're allowing hope to become distant or scattered in your life, that's what leads to a bitter, sick heart. So that tells us something really important, that the key to waiting on God is never lose hope. Never lose hope. Romans 4:18 says this, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. I mean, this is a powerful piece of scripture right here. Abraham, he'd gotten really old. His wife, Sarah, she was well past childbearing years, right? They were way beyond hope. And that passage is saying, even when there was no logical reason for hope, even when it didn't make sense according to human standards and logic, he kept hoping. How do you do that? How do you keep hoping when your circumstances don't make sense and don't look good, right? He went back to what God said. God had said, that's how many descendants you will have. I want you to understand this. When what you're hoping for can't be seen, go back to what God said. Go back to his promises. That's how you hold on to hope. You remember what he said. His promises to you are yes and amen. His word does not return void. So Lamentations 3, where we started, said, it's good to wait on the salvation of the Lord. It's good to wait on the salvation of the Lord. But I want to give you more context for that. It's probably written by the prophet Jeremiah. And before that, let's read a few of the verses before that. Verse 19, you can see that he's going through a hard time, like a lot of us have been going through a difficult season in life this year. It says this, the thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I love it. He says, I will say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. Right? I love that attitude. Even when I don't understand what you're doing, I trust who you are. This is our encouragement, church. When you don't understand God's what or his when, go back to his who. Who is he? He's good. He is faithful. His mercy never ends. His love never ceases. He is your inheritance and your prize. That's why we never lose hope. Not because everything in our life is good, but because God is good. And he's proven it again and again. Romans 15, verse 13, it says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is the God of hope. Who's your God? My God's the God of hope. He's a good father. He's the God of hope. Don't mistake his silence for absence. He's not just the Alpha, he's the Omega. He didn't just start a good work in you, he is going to finish that good work in you. When you're tired of waiting, wait on the Lord. I know it can get hard. It can get hard to wait for God's timing. It can be hard to wait for a vaccine. It can be hard to wait for society to go back to normal. It's hard to wait for that promise which God has made to you. But when you're tired of waiting, wait on the Lord. And I want to just direct you to Isaiah 40. It says, but those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. It says, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. If you've ever been to like a really nice restaurant where the waiter or waitress takes really good care of you, like isn't that amazing? They show up and they're there to refill your glass or bring you what you need. They're waiting on you. They're serving you. And in the same way, waiting on the Lord is not passivity. It's service. It's not just sitting around in the waiting room of heaven till your name is called. It's serving the Lord. A lot of times in our personal lives, when we have to wait, we'll do things to pass the time. Just try to pass the time, distract myself to pass the time. But in the kingdom of God, it's different. You're not trying to distract yourself. You're trying to remain faithful and useful to God by serving him as you wait. That's one of the ways that he strengthens you. So I want to encourage you, when you're waiting on God, don't become passive. Use that season to serve God in a special way. So when my wife and I were waiting to have a child, a lot of time went by. In fact, last time I was here, last year, we were still waiting. I remember I was with your pastor having lunch at the mall, and I was getting a call from our adoption agency about potential matches, and all these things were in development at that time. But my wife and I, we had been waiting a long time, and it was a difficult process. There were times when I cried, when we asked God, you know, what does this mean? Like, why are we going through this? We even asked stupid questions, like, is this like a curse or something? Did we do something wrong? Why are we having to wait for what comes so easily to other people? And the Lord started speaking to our hearts, and he showed my wife, Amy, he showed her, I don't want you to let this season become a time of mourning and loss. I want the joy of the Lord to shine through you in this season. And he encouraged us to see the situation differently, not to waste this waiting season. We realized that as our church was growing and there was a lot of demand on our lives, that because we didn't have kids at that time, we could put more of our heart all into it. We could just spend all the time we needed on our church and serving our people like we wouldn't have been able to if we had had kids at home. We realized in that season that every night could be date night. Come on, somebody. Netflix and chill with your wife. You can't do that when you've got kids. You know, like, so, man, we started to see that this season was not a curse. It was a blessing. It was a blessing. And God used it for our good, the way that he promised he would. And then he did, in his timing, bring our baby daughter into our lives. And she was born on December 27th, and it was God's perfect timing. Our baby girl, Lila, was born, and we just see God's hand in it so clearly. She came into our lives, and we wouldn't change a single thing about how God delivered on his promise to us. I just love the fact that last time I was with you at Eternity Church, I was still waiting. But now I can see the goodness of God and his plan as he was working behind the scenes and throughout the process. So don't lose hope. Never lose hope if you're waiting on God. It doesn't matter how long you're waiting. I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living is what it says in Psalm 27. God hears your prayers. He sees you. He knows your pain. He sees your heart's desire. And I want you to understand that your hardest waiting seasons are going to result in your biggest harvest seasons. It says those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. If you're waiting for your big break or for a baby or for a spouse or for a prodigal child to come back to Jesus, your day is coming, and what a day of rejoicing it will be. Amen. Don't give up. I wanted to encourage you with that tonight, but I want to say this. When you're struggling to wait for God, as we close, remember how God waited for you. Remember how God waited for you. How many of you remember there was a time in your life before you had surrendered to Jesus and trusted him to save you from sin? When you were far from God, you realized that he was waiting for you? I mean, think about this, right? That it's over 2,000 years ago that Jesus sacrificed his life on the cross to pay the price for sin. He defeated death and rose again. Why has God waited? Why has he waited to end sin and to establish his kingdom on this earth? It's because he was waiting for you. If he had done it any earlier, you wouldn't be here. You wouldn't have been able to become a child of God. So think about that. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord isn't really slow about his promises, some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. I love this reminder that when I feel impatient, God was patient. He waited for me. While I was far from him, he was waiting and he was calling and he was drawing me back to himself. And he's done that for you. Aren't you grateful that God is patient? I'm going to ask you to bow your heads at this time. Just close your eyes to have a moment of privacy. And maybe you're with us tonight in the room or on the patio or online, and you know that you haven't been fully surrendered to God. Maybe you haven't yet let Jesus come into your life and change you. Maybe you feel that separation from God. You know, I've sinned and I'm not right with God and I want to be. Maybe someone drug you to church tonight and you were not planning on having a life-changing encounter with the living God. I want you to know that God has waited for this moment, an opportunity to give you this opportunity to accept Jesus and never be the same. The Word of God makes it very clear that if we'll confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. You've just got to surrender your life to him and trust him to save you. It's actually easy for us because Jesus already did the hard part. So if you're ready for that tonight, you want to accept Jesus, and maybe you never have, I just want to lead you in a prayer, and I'm going to ask everyone just to pray this with me. And if you mean it, God will hear it, and it will change you. You will be changed and forgiven and become a child of God. So pray this with me. Let's pray this together. Dear God, I know that I've sinned, and I need your forgiveness. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose again so that I could have eternal life. I want to follow Jesus from this day forward. I don't ever want to be the same. I thank you for loving me. Now lead me, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed for a minute. If you just prayed that prayer and you meant it, I just want to give you a second to respond physically to what happened in your heart spiritually. And I'm just going to invite you to do this. No one's looking around. We're not going to embarrass you. You might be in the room or you might be at home. But just do this right now and just raise your hand up to God as a way of just saying, I just prayed that prayer and I just accepted Jesus. If that's you, just slip your hand up. I just want to give you a moment. That's great. Thank you. Anyone else? Say, that's me. I prayed that prayer and I meant it and I just accepted Jesus. That's awesome. Can we just do this right now, church? Can we just give a hand for everyone who made that decision? That's awesome. I want you to know that if you prayed that prayer and you meant it, you are forgiven. You've been accepted by God. You're a part of his family now, and your life won't always be easy, but it will always be better with Jesus at the center of your life. And now you're a part of this church family, and so you're never going to be alone. Amen? Amen. Can we give God praise one time? Come on. Thank you, Lord.
Well, thank you so much for listening to this message. If you enjoyed it, be sure to check out our other episodes. If you would like to connect with Eternity Church, please visit myeternity.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Eternity Church. We'll see you next week. Love you heaps.